Today we're interviewing Mrs. Ruth Soucy about her career in employment and otherwise. Ruth, tell us about your early childhood and your family.
My early childhood? Okay, I come from a family of 10. I'm the youngest. They're all gone except me. I've only got nieces and nephews left, and some of them are already gone. And here I am. So, and what else can I say? I had a very good childhood, being the 10th, the last of the bunch, I could say. I had six brothers that looked over me, and I guess I was the one that had the best of all of it, because the older ones started to work, and I was the baby, and they, what my parents wouldn't give me, they gave me. I took dancing lessons. I was the one that was able to graduate from high school. And what else can I say?
Well, you were born in Fall River, Ruth?
Huh?
You were born in Fall River?
Oh, yes.
Now, your parents were Polish background? Polish, your parents?
Polish, yes.
Yeah, what was your maiden name?
Stasiowski.
Tell me about your parents. Tell me about their background. What were they like?
About my family, they come from Poland.
First generation?
They were the first ones to come over here. My dad could speak English. In fact, during the epidemic of the flu, he was one of them that went with the doctors to the Polish families because they couldn't talk. They couldn't tell them, the doctor, what was wrong. So my father was like an interpreter for the doctor. And we all survived it.
Where did your parents work, Ruth?
My mom, I don't ever believe she worked.
Okay.
My dad was a weaver in a mill, which was horrible, because I went to bring him a lunch one day, and I went in that weave room. That was horrible. The noise.
Which mill did he work in, Ruth? Do you know? Which mill?
He worked in the King Philip. I'll tell you, it was the main build on the King Philip. Then there was a little one in the back.
Yeah.
Well, that was the weave room. Because
yeah.
I remember bringing the supper there one night. No, I was brought up at the Globe.
I was going to ask you that. Where did you live in the Globe? What street?
Globe Street.
Right on Globe Street.
Right at the bottom, almost at Bay. That's why we were always at the river, the Montauk Bay. The boats and everything else.
You were telling me earlier about the Fall River Line. You used to.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
You used to row out to the boats, did you?
Oh, we used to go out for the waves. Well, it was a picture to see it going by. These kids don't know nothing today.
Well, it's all
they
changed.
Miss so much in life.
Were you a Catholic? Catholic?
Yes.
Religion?
Oh, yeah.
What parish did you belong to?
I belonged to St. Patrick's.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, my dad had a fight with Father Dilla, and he stayed, but us kids, he put us in with St. Patrick's Parish.
Where did you go to school, Ruth?
We used to call it kindergarten. We played in sandboxes. I went to Dwelly School on Foot Street. Of course, that's all gone.
Yep.
That was from pre-primary to sixth grade. Then I had to go to Fowler School. That was 7th to 8th grade. And then from 8th grade to Durfee till I graduated.
You said you were one of 10 children, right?
Yeah.
And you were the last.
I'm the last one.
Tell us a little bit about your siblings, your brothers and sisters. What were they like?
Well, I had twin sisters. They were the oldest. And, of course, they both... One worked in the King Philip Mill, one worked in the Firestone. The one that worked in the Firestone had a better job because it wasn't as messy as working in a card room in the King Philip Mill. Now, my brother Walter worked in Firestone. He worked a midnight shift. Brother Bill worked in Firestone until it burnt down. Then he was sent out to Boston to work in one of the mills out there. My brother Fred, well, he was the one that was the go-getter. He worked. He had his own by the end of his career, he owned his own furniture store, Stacy's Furniture on Bedford Street. And Brother Elmer worked for the gas company. Brother Al worked for the gas company. My brother Tommy, well, he worked here and there.
You were, you told me you were born in 1921. 1921? So you would have been a teenager during the Depression.
Oh, I went right through the Depression.
What was it like growing up during the Depression?
Well, like I told you, I've seen somewhere no one had anything to eat. Kids would be going along the roads and, you know, like an apple cord, they would pick it up and take the last little bits of it to eat. There was no freebies them days. Nobody gave you nothing for nothing. It was horrible. It was horrible. Like I say, I went through it, but I didn't miss anything because of the family being so big. The elders worked, and they helped to donate to the family, and I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones. But I've seen the kids. And when we went to school, we weren't dressed like the kids today. I remember being in high school, you had a cardigan. One day you wore it buttoned all the way up. The next day you wore the buttons in the back. Then that was a different way. No, it was tough. It was tough. You never had too much. And food was horrible. There was a lot of hungry kids, let me tell you.
But your family, because you had older siblings who were working.
That's right. That's what helped my parents. And then they bought a house because I was coming. And, you know, where are you going to rent a house for 10 kids?
So where was the house they bought?
On Globe Street.
Oh, that was the
right
house.
Right opposite Foot Street.
Okay.
It was a beautiful six-tenement house. In fact, I lived there until I built in Swansea. Huh. There was like six rooms in the front, four rooms in the back tenements. Yeah, we managed the family. But like I'm telling you, it was horrible. It was that. And jobs. When I got I worked for 25 cents an hour. They said, what? I says, yes, I worked for 25 cents an hour. They says, what did you I said, Kresge's, 5 and 10. After high school on a Friday, we went to work to Kresge's until 10 o'clock. Then that's when the stores were open on a Friday night. They weren't open like they are today. And then on Saturday, we worked all day till 10 o'clock at night. You got 25 cents an hour. That was a lot of money.
Was that your first job out of high school?
No, I was in high school at the time.
Oh, you were still in high school?
Yeah, okay. That was a little part-time job.
What did you do for Kresge's?
Huh?
What was the nature of your job?
My nature of job, well, I can't really describe it because when I started to work, they called it a floor girl. Incidentally, 50 cents an hour.
For floors.
I graduated from 25 to 50. I started as a floor girl, and I don't know whether, and all this was that if a girl needed a bobbin of thread, I would get it for her. Or if they needed work, I would tell the floor lady that they were running out. And they were on piece work. And if you want slave labor, there it is.
Now, where was this now?
This was in all the sewing shops, only one.
It was not at Kresge's, though. This was after Kresge's.
If you got hired for piecework, that machine was going like this constantly.
Yeah. What was your first job, full-time job?
That was it. When I got out of high school, I went to work in a sewing factory.
Well, which one?
Cromos. I was like a floor girl.
Okay.
I would...
All right.
Get the thread for the girls, and I had to make sure that they worked. Then I graduated to a little better, and then I finally got my little own department where they used to put the buttons on and sew, and they examined the garment, they folded it, and it was shipped out. And then I was on salary.
Oh.
From 50 cents an hour to salary.
Well, how long did it take you to do that? How many years?
I stayed there all my life. since I was 60. Well, the Cromos, he died. He sold the business to Tool, the cutter that was in my place at that time, in a Mr. Kirsch. He was like a salesman. He sold the business to these two. They kept it in up the Flint there. I don't know the name of the mill. Then my boss and the other one, they decided to open up down north where all the doctors are. On the first floor, we were on that
Narragansett Mill.
Yeah. And that's where I ended it. At 50, I quit.
At age 50? That was your last job?
They can have it.
Right. For you.
Now, what? I have to go back a second. And where was the Cromos factory?
Yeah. Mr. Cromos. It was on Broadway, at the Globe Corners. Okay. You know the mill on the Globe Corners? Yeah. The gas station was here. Yeah. The mill was on
Gold
Broadway.
Mills.
It right. really brought in the circus grounds.
That's Gold Mill.
We used to call it the circus grounds.
Right, exactly. And that's where it was at first.
Yeah.
And then it moved. It moved to the Flint, you say?
I don't know. We were on the top floor. I don't know whether they got evicted or what.
Hmm.
They moved to Quickashan Street.
Okay.
We were on Quickashan Street where No Fall River Knit and Mills and all them were
right.
the front part. And then these two bosses decided to buy them out, and we started down in Narragansett Mill down north.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the bosses. What were they like?
Huh?
Your bosses, what were they like? Did you get along with them?
Well, I got along with them because I could con them. Awful to say, but...
Well, what do you mean by that?
Huh?
What do you mean, con them? How did you con them?
I'd be nice to them, and then I'd be a...
Bitch.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to give us an example?
No, because I was for the girls. I wasn't for the bosses. But they thought I was for them.
Do you have any specific instances that you'd like to tell us about?
On the sewing part, just that they worked like slaves and got no credit... It was terrible. You couldn't imagine. There would be a pile of work like this.
And what were they making? Were these dresses?
We were making two different kind of things. We were making nightgowns and pajamas and dusters.
Okay.
And then on another section, we were making nylon panties. So it was like two different. And Mr. Kirsch was the salesman. And Murkowski was the boss that stayed there. He was a hellion to the girls. And in union, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for the union. I am not a union person. I never was, and I never would, and I would. They did absolutely nothing for these girls, except take their dues every week.
Tell us more about that. Now, that was the International Ladies Garment Workers Union?
Yes.
ILGWU, yeah. And what did they do?
What did they do? Nothing for the girls. Nothing.
The girls had
what you call a stop shop stewardess.
Right.
If you had a complaint, you would talk to her. The stop stewardess would talk to the boss. Then if they thought, the union would come in. So the union come in. So instead of going to the stop shop stewardess to talk to her to find out what the problem was, they would go to the boss. Then all of a sudden, everything is all fixed. And you see them coming out with nightgowns.
So in other words, what you're saying was they were on the take, right?
Well, not on a take, but they would settle it between themselves. And the girls got nothing, no credit out of it.
Right.
They got nothing.
How much were the dues in those days? Do you remember?
Well, I remember some was 50 cents.
what was that, a month?
50 cents a week.
A week.
A week. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what year would that have been, in the 30s?
That was in the 30s, yeah. 30s and 40s.
Right.
Then it went up. It was kept going up. But I don't see, I lost track of it. When they gave me that job, and a lot of guilds wouldn't talk. A lot of guilds were afraid to talk to me, thinking I would. But they should have known better.
Well, what was your title, Ruth? What was your title? Were you a four lady?
It would be supervisor. Like a supervisor.
Yeah. And you had a department?
Yeah.
How big was your department? How many employees did you have?
Well, I had, let me see. I had a certain section. I had the girls that put on a machine, they put buttons and they buttonholes and grippers. You know the grippers, when the grippers come out?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had all the girls at tables where they examined the garment, took the thread out, made sure everything was all right, the seams and everything were put together.
So they were inspectors.
And then it was brought over to another table where the girls would fold them, because at that time everything was folded, pressed and folded. And then went into the shipping department. Then the shipping department filled out the orders and shipped it out.
You said that you put the grippers on. You mean Velcro?
Yeah, you know the grippers.
Velcro?
Yeah.
Like snaps.
No, not Velcro. The grippers that when you put, you know,
snaps.
They're like the
snaps.
It's the snaps,
snaps.
Yeah,
snaps.
It was a machine.
Snaps and hooks and eyes, yeah.
Oh, it was tough. All them girls, they worked hard.
What were the hours?
Huh?
The hours. What were the work
them
hours?
Them hours were from 8 in the morning till 5 at night when we first started.
It's
an eight hour day.
And what'd you get for lunch? How much?
Hour day for 5 days.
You got half an hour for lunch?
Yeah.
How about breaks in the factory to go to the restroom? Because I've often heard that it was pretty difficult to leave your station and go to the restroom.
Well, they'd hate to leave it because the next girl would be waiting what you finished to go to the next girl. And that's where all the fights would go. But they had to go to the restroom. That they had to do. They had to let them go. But don't worry. They more or less watched if you stayed there too long or to have a cigarette or anything. I never timed my girls. They could go, stay there. Well, I figured it's that. They're losing it. They were on piecework. If they stayed in there an hour, they weren't working that hour, or 15 minutes. If they went in 15 minutes, they come out and they started to work. Of course, they're going to make more than the girl that stayed in there half an hour having a smoke or something.
Sure.
So the girls, when it really, really got bad was when the Portuguese people come in to sew. It was hard to talk to them, but they always knew their money. That they knew right from the beginning. They were hard workers, I will say. They were hard workers. And they really ruined it for a lot of us. Because you say when we never had air conditioning in the mills.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was a hot, hot day, after a certain degree, if the girls wanted to go home, they could go shut the factory down and go home. But when the Portuguese people come in, the boss would say, if anybody wants to stay and work, they're willing to work. Of course they were willing to work. We had to stay there with them. But, see, they wouldn't shut the whole place down. They stayed and they worked. And we had to stay.
So you stayed too.
We had to.
Yeah, that was the old Department of Labor and Industries. They had a rule about humidity and heat in those days.
Oh, it was tough that hot. And the windows never opened.
No.
Because, you know, their mills were so old.
No, you couldn't open
them. You couldn't open them windows.
No.
But nothing.
No. Now, you had breaks, though, scheduled breaks besides
the restaurant. They did have breaks. They had so long in the morning and so much. I think it was 10 or 15 minutes in the morning, 10, 15 minutes in the afternoon.
Did you have vending machines in the vending machines?
No.
Everybody brought their lunch.
That was the things of coming, but nothing. Yeah, no, they didn't.
Everybody brought their lunch.
Although we did have a coffee. But they had to pay for their own coffee.
Yeah, no cafeterias. They get it, huh?
You brought your own sandwiches or go out.
So now you said you retired early, though. You retired early at age 50.
Yeah, I had a good husband.
Sure.
Had
Tell us about your husband. We haven't talked about him.
My husband, both I and I, met in high school.
Oh, wonderful. A drippy romance.
Well, no, it wasn't. He was RS and I was RS. So we always sat in homeroom in front or back of each other. And we would kid with one, like a usual kid one in high school and
sure,
that.
Sure.
We had classes together on some, because you know, some classes you had with him, other classes you didn't. So he graduated and I graduated the same year. And like I say, depression. His dad was a foreman or something in one of the mills, and he got him a job to work in a mill. He worked there 1 week, and he says to his father, "Dad, this isn't for me." So his father says, "Well, it's up to you." You know, his father could see it. He says, "I'm going to join the service." Him and his three buddies went to join the service. At that time, you could say where you wanted to go. Well, these three boys were going to go to Hawaii.
Oh, wait a minute. That sounds dangerous.
One of them didn't pass the exam. He had tuberculosis. He didn't know it. The other one got shipped God knows where. My husband stayed around this area. I think he went to Portland, Maine. And he stayed in Portland, Maine. At that time, when you went in the Army, you didn't have a school. You was put in right in with the regular Army. Mm-hmm. So his first night that he spent in the Army was in a jail because there was no room for him in the barracks. So he come home. I guess he was in the service. He come home. And he had I don't know whether it was a weekend or his 10 days that they usually got a year. And he found out that all his buddies were either married or they had steady girlfriends. So he was sitting in the house like a log. So his mother says to him, "Why don't you call some girl that you went to school with? You know, and see, maybe she's not going out steady or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And go out with her." So he called me. So he called me and we're talking and everything. He says, he asked me if I was going out steady. I said, "No." I says, "I was going out with different ones." He says, "Well," he asked me if he could come down. I says, "Of course you can come down, Roger." He says, "Well," he says, "you know," he says, "well, ask your mother if it's all right if I come in uniform." I says, "Ask my mother? You've got to be kidding." He says, "Yes." He says, "because my civilian clothes don't fit me because I outgrew them because he went in as a kid." And so he come down, and that's how it started.
What year was that?
Oh, let me see, 1939. I didn't see him 1940. About 1940. Lot of 40 or 41, something like that.
This was before Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yes.
Now, you had a telephone. He could call you, and he had a telephone.
Oh, he used to call from the barracks. He used to call me.
Okay.
No, he was stationed in Portland, Maine.
But did you have telephones in your home?
Oh, we had telephones, yeah.
And did his family
Well, had one telephone.
Yeah.
You know, and so he come down, and that's how it started. Then when he come down again, he would call me, and I said, "Sure, come down." But I was going out with another one. Yeah. But I told the other one, if he ever come down, I'd go out with him first, because I felt sorry he was in the service. Yeah, so.
So how did it progress from there? When did you get engaged?
Well, we started to go out, and it just boomeranged, I guess. It boomeranged. And he stayed in Portland, Maine for a while until they opened up Camp Edwards. He was in pup tents in Camp Edwards. Spent one night there when the barracks were being built.
Okay.
And then that was when war was declared. Then he was sent to Boston. They were on top of Shaft's candy factory. They were protecting Pearl, the harbor, Boston Harbor.
Right, right.
And he spent that Christmas in that. That was on the beach in the sand in pup tents. They never had no barracks, no nothing there. They were sleeping in pup tents on the beach in the winter. Oh, that tough.
So when did you get engaged?
When did I get engaged? Before we went over. Before we went overseas. No, it was after.
Exactly.
I kept writing to him, but I was writing to this other fella too. And when they both landed, now Roger was in the United States, Billy, he got drafted and they shipped him to England. And when the World War, when it started, the troop from the United States and England, they all formed into one convoy. And they were in the invasion of
France, is that?
About North Africa.
North Africa.
North Africa. And so when I got a letter from this one and I got a letter from this one, and all they could say somewhere in North Africa, they couldn't tell you where they were or anything. If you got a letter, sometimes you didn't even know what it was. Everything was cut out.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Yeah, that was the census.
Census, yeah.
Right, right.
So he stayed over. He was over there 3 years and some months.
When did he come back?
Huh?
When did he come back?
3 years and some months later.
What year?
Oh, let me see. Oh, Christ, I can't even remember.
45, maybe 1945.
Yeah, it had to be. What, the 40? Yeah. Let me see. I got married at... I got married at 24. He was 25. So
1945.
Yeah.
That was the year the war ended.
Yeah, 3 years, and they didn't want to ship him back, but he told them. He says, "If you don't, I'm going to call my Congress. Write to my congressman."
Yeah, it was all based on points.
You had to come by points,
right?
And he had way over the points, but they wouldn't send him home. He was in charge of this big rest area. Out in Italy, and when the boys were going to be shipped home, they brought them in there, gave them a rest and everything else, and shipped them from there.
You said earlier that you said earlier that he was a good husband. What did he do for a living when he came back?
When he came back, he worked for the Navy. He was an accountant in the Navy
in Newport.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
And he finished his 20 years in reserves. He went in as a private, come back as a major, got out as a major.
Really? He was an officer. Wow.
He got his first promotion when he was working with Eisenhower. When he was in Italy, it was a funny thing because they wanted someone. They had the whole unit out. And you know, there's a story. If you were in the service, you know,
Army.
You don't know nothing. You don't know a thing. You don't know how to do anything either. You just don't know. So they wanted somebody that could speak French and write in French. So nobody was saying. Nobody answered. So I guess they checked. So he got picked. He was with the 68th Coast Artillery. Them poor guys went on. He stayed in Italy. He was in the same office with Eisenhower. Every morning, Eisenhower would tap you on the back and say good morning. He says he was a regular Joe. He was a good.
So his skill was French. He could read and speak French.
Oh yeah, he went to Prevost grammar school.
Okay.
So he knew how to speak French. And
where did you when you were married? Where did you live when you were married?
Where did I live?
Where did you live, yeah?
On Globe Street.
When you were married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I lived in one of my father's tenements for $4 a week. My father wanted, well, we all did, all of us kids lived in the tenement. My father wanted to raise the rents, taxes were going up, my mother wanted to kill him.
Well, you
$4 a week.
You
Oh, it was cute, a four-room apartment, had it fixed cute.
You lived on Globe Street and
all my life, like I told you, until
you
I moved
to Swansea. And you continue to work now. You retired around 1970, 71.
Yeah.
But tell us more about your career. Where did you work towards the tail end of your career? Did you stay with that same company?
I stayed with
one company.
Well, it changed over to names.
Right.
What I mean from Cromer was, what the heck was it? Where was it? Lynn J.
Lynn J. I've heard that name.
I remember Lynn J.
Lynn was the other boss's daughter's name, and Jay was Rakowski's name, son's name, so they put Lynn J. They're two kids, Lynn and Jay.
Cute. That's cute.
It was cute, yeah.
At age 50, after you retired, what did you do?
Well, I had my car, I'd go to the beach, go out for breakfast, and I was at the Sleuth restaurant. And do you remember the Rustic Pub?
I do.
Well, Russell, the son, was there at this little restaurant that we used to go for coffee in there. And he was talking and everything else, and he's talking and everything. And I said, don't give me that bull, Russell. I'll tell you one thing. If I went to be interviewed at that restaurant, do you think you would hire me at my age instead of a younger kid? He said, of course, if you qualify. I said, you're full of bull. He says, well, okay. He says, seeing you're so smart, we're looking for somebody in the office to go out to book banquets and to show the place out, you know, tell them, you know, what we've got to offer and everything. He says, a nice little job. He says, why don't you come down and get interviewed? See if my father will hire you, see that you're so smart. So I was with my neighbor, Inchcliffe. We went, she's sitting at the table, and everyone, he called me and he's interviewing me. I got the damn job.
And how old were you then?
Well, let me see. I was in my 50s.
Okay.
Oh, Christ. Oh, I was up there. I wasn't in my 60s. I had to be in my late 50s.
How long did
or
you have
in the early 50s, something around there.
How long did you have that job?
Oh, for quite a while. And I liked it. I was having a ball. It wasn't a full-time job. I'd go in about 10 o'clock, you know. And if he had any problem, he'd ask me to take care of it for him over the phone and that. So it was a good boss to work for. And then I said, Then he asked me to work New Year's Eve. The sun ruined that place when he got bands upstairs.
I remember.
You know,
that.
There was like an alcove upstairs, if you remember.
Yep.
And I went with one of my friends one Saturday to have dinner. I went in next Monday. I says to Mr. Winslow. I said, Mr. Winslow. You know, he says, oh, how'd you enjoy your Saturday night? I said, I didn't. He says, what do you mean you didn't? I says, we couldn't even hear ourselves talk with that thing upstairs. I says, that's going to be the ruination of your restaurant, whether you know it or not. And it was. Have these big, come on, in a nice restaurant like this. Because it was a first-class restaurant.
It was at one time.
It really was nice.
At one time.
He built that all by himself.
Yeah.
He worked hard, that man.
So you retired again?
Yeah, I retired again.
Now, I just got to jump back a little bit because somewhere in there, there was Social Security.
Oh, I was on Social Security.
Yeah, how about a union pension? Tell us about that.
I wasn't in the union, so I never got no pension from the union. I got a pension from my job.
Yeah, there was
had something set up for us.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was unusual.
And it
though.
Didn't cost us a penny. He put it all in way.
Was that profit sharing?
Yeah.
Profit sharing?
I don't know how it was. I never knew anything.
Yeah.
He says, don't worry. We had to sign, of course, and all that. He says, you'll be taken care of. I know you're not a union member, where you'd get a small pension.
That's unusual for that time.
Huh?
That's unusual for that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was nice. It was a pretty good pension.
Good.
Yeah.
So you remember when Franklin Roosevelt came in with Social Security?
I don't even remember that.
Probably around 1933, 35.
He would have been a teenager.
When was it?
It was about 1935.
You would have been a teenager then.
I was a teenager. Yeah. I didn't give a damn of Social Security.
No.
I was interested in having fun.
A lot of teenagers don't today either.
No, I remember when who was it that got buried in Notre Dame Cemetery that worked for Roosevelt?
Oh, Louis Howe.
Louis Howe.
Oh, I can't, because I hopped over a down fence there. You know that?
The granite wall?
Yeah, I hopped over that wall to see. Oh, I wanted to see it. Hey, if I'm going to go from Globe Street all the way to Notre Dame, to that cemetery, I want to see something.
Yeah, St. Patrick's.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was,
Yeah, I forgot his name.
Louis Howe.
Louis Howe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My father told me that his mother was the postmistress.
Yes, for years and years and years and years.
First female postmistress, I think, in the
United
States.
Yeah.
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 But that's when we had a big post office and. In the center.
Well, Roosevelt came to that. Roosevelt came to that funeral.
Oh yeah, that's why we all wanted to go.
Right.
We wanted to see the president. We didn't care they were going to put him in a hole. Okay.
Yeah. He was a political assistant to the president, and he was
chief of staff.
Chief of staff.
Yeah. He was quite the man.
Oh yeah.
Everybody liked him. You ought to say, and it wasn't because of him. They all felt bad, but a lot of people would have gone anyhow to see it. But it was because the president was coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw a president around here? They never bothered coming around here.
Yeah, that was a big thing. That was big.
Yeah, that was a big thing, yeah.
Did you have any children, Ruth?
No, I was on one of the unlucky ones. I had to have a hysterectomy when I was 29.
Wow, that's young. Yeah.
Yeah, that was unusual too.
Huh?
Difficult operation.
I stayed in the hospital 3 weeks. Now they do it in a day, and out you're out.
Yeah.
Where did you have that done? Fall River.
Yeah, in Truesdale Hospital.
Truesdale.
I had a double uterus.
Oh, my goodness.
And the doctor told my husband that one out of a million girls are born with a double uterus. My ovaries were like two black as two men's fists. Well, at that age, we never had doctors to go to.
No.
They would touch you here and there, and that was it, a regular doctor. Oh, you're all right.
That would have been 1940, roughly. 1940.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't married too long. And I even told my husband, I can't have children. If you want to split, go. Because I felt sorry for him. Because he loved kids. I did. We always had our nieces and nephews.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You probably had a lot of nieces and nephews with all your sisters and brothers.
Oh, I didn't. Only 11. And out of all these nieces and nephews, there's my niece Ruth Ann that comes here, and my nephew Bobby that comes here. Oh, now another niece showed up. But outside of that, no other ones. Well, there's two of them that are dead already. Yeah.
Your husband.
Huh?
Your husband. When did he pass away?
What is it? 3 years ago.
Really?
At 90.
90.
Were you still at home with him at that time?
I was home after he died. I'm just here a year. Because I fell and broke my knee.
Oh.
Yeah. At age, you're 95, 90?
No, I'm 93.
90, excuse me, 93, 1921.
That's and right. He was 94.
He was 94.
He would have been 90. So, well, he would. He
so
would have been 94.
You were keeping a house up until about a year ago. You were.
Yeah, I was in my own house. Yeah.
As you look back on things now, at age 94, right? As you look back on things, what would you do differently if you had to do over again?
If I had to do over again, gee, I don't know. Like I told you, I was one of the lucky ones that had a good life, all because of brothers and sisters which were able to do a lot and give me a lot. And I don't know whether at that time I appreciated it or not. No, they were all very, very good to me, my brothers and sisters, I will say. That's why I went to all their funerals.
Otherwise you wouldn't have gone?
No.
Well, that's wonderful. Because
hey, listen, out of 10 kids, to stay, you stayed together. That was something. Because it's not the kids. Because if there was any problems in, say, it wasn't the brothers and sisters. It was always the in-laws. This in-law didn't like this in-law. So what did the brothers have to do? They had to stick up for their wives, or the girls had to stick up for their husbands. So, you know, it was tough. But I was friendly with them. I was friendly with them all. I could call any one of them up and say, hey, I need help.
What else would you like to tell us? Do you have any advice for the young people of today?
Did I what?
Have any advice for the young people of today?
Young people today, get out and enjoy themselves. Do what they want to do, and don't wait till they get older, because it never comes. It's true, because you say, well, I remember saying it to my husband. Oh, let's not do it now. When we retire, we've got plenty of time, we'll do it. That plenty of time, we were lucky we did have plenty of time, but others don't. He lived till 90, and I lived and I was 89 when he passed away. So that was.
Did you do any traveling with him?
Oh yeah, we used to travel. Yeah, but always to historical places. We were the type. We didn't like the showy. We wanted to see things.
Well, you've had an interesting life.
Oh yeah, I did.
I'm going to kind of jump back a little bit, not back to some of the years that. When you were growing up, because I'm kind of curious, how did you heat your home? I know when I was growing up with my grandmother, she had a coal stove.
Yeah, a coal stove. Yeah. You had one coal stove, and it would be in the kitchen, because it would be one of these black ones where you could cook on a top. And then by coal and wood. And you'd get it by tons, coal by tons. There'd be a horse and wagon at first, and it's the coal in a chute from your basement window into the cellar.
Yeah, that's what I've never seen.
And you'd have wood to start it. I never had to do it, but...
Your brothers did, maybe?
My brothers used to... Of course, they wouldn't let my father do it when they got old enough.
Yeah.
They did it.
Well, you were the youngest.
Yeah,
anyway.
I was the youngest.
Yeah.
And then soon as... the gas come in. Well, they were working for the gas company. We got gas right away. And of course, when I got married, the last one, my smart brother says to me, what are you going to heat with? I said, gas. When I was building, he says, and he knew it was on Old Warren Road. How far down Old Warren Road? Because I don't know whether you're going to be able to heat with gas or not. I said, well, I'll tell you, up to Cypress Drive. Oh, all right, you're just above Cypress Drive. Because up to Cypress Drive, the gas didn't go down there. And I was abutting the Tuasset Gulf. You walked, yeah.
Now, did your mother teach you how to cook?
I did not cook. My husband did the cooking.
Uh-oh.
We was a good cook. I did the baking.
Okay.
I could bake very good. And I made the gwumpki. But the bacon I did right from scratch, not from the box, from scratch. Because when I built my house, the house next door, he had a nice garden. He was a Portuguese man. He had a nice garden. When the golf course come in, the golfers used to go into his garden. So he decided to put a fence along, and he put a chicken wire fence. And I got a brand new house, a chicken wire fence around, painted the posts yellow. So we were reading the Sunday paper, and Roger says to me, "Ruth, we're going to go to Warwick today. We're going to take a ride to Warwick." I said, "What for?" He says, "They got blueberry bushes for 99 cents. Count the posts." I counted the posts. We planted a blueberry bush right in front of every post. They're still there.
Yeah.
Some of them. Yeah. Some of them died, but it was horrible. Yellow. I almost died when I see him painting it. It was his property. He could do what he wanted.
I just have another couple of questions because we didn't touch on. Did you drive a car? Or did you learn how to drive a car?
Oh, I was driving, yeah.
And did your parents have a car? When did all this
come about? Oh, well, my parents didn't have a car. My brother Walter had a car. Then the older boys got cars. But my dad never had cars. They walked.
Trolleys. And you took trolleys.
Oh, they were nice. The open trolleys. I remember them.
Now, you would remember the electric trolleys, right? You don't remember the horse-drawn trolleys.
Oh, no. The electric ones.
Right.
I remember the old ones from Jerome Dwelly School. We'd have our picnics all the way in them trolley cars to Lincoln Park.
I was going to ask if you went to Lincoln Park.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun. These kids don't have nothing like that. You know, Now, let me tell you, what have they got to remember? That I was on a computer all day?
I know. That's why the trolleys, the trolley companies actually built Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
So they could tell you.
There's all condos there now, I heard.
Yeah, they're just building them now. Yeah.
What a shame.
And I want to bring you back to the days of Main Street when you went downtown shopping.
Beautiful. That's where you met your friends, you talk, and that. You go in these stores, the sales ladies were so polite, very helpful.
And well-dressed.
Huh?
And the sales ladies were well-dressed.
Oh, yes. And in McQuaid's, they were dressed a certain way. I forgot whether it was the, you know, skirts and that. But they're
ruffle.
Yeah, with the name tag. And then you went upstairs, the other level where the kids' clothes were. It was beautiful, but they were all in the old thing where you put the thing in and go all the way. You remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
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 Did you ever sit on Santa Claus's lap at McQuaid's?
No,
you didn't?
I did. Yeah. I have pictures.
Did you?
I have pictures of me with Santa Claus in McQuaid's.
See that?
And, of course, how about your favorite stores? What were the favorite stores downtown?
Sherry and Webb's. That was the store. What other store? Outside, you'd go to these little stores, and I never believed in them little stores. My mother always traded. The girls always got their clothes in Cherry and Webb. The boys always got them in, what was it?
The Hub?
Yeah.
The Hub. Yeah.
That was the place. They got their clothes there. And up to, Christ, I think when they were getting married, they would go there just automatic because they were so used to it since they were kids. Oh, yeah. Yes, my mother, Cherry and Webb, and I remember she felt so, because my husband, well, he was my boyfriend, because my boyfriend was going overseas, and she felt so sorry for me. She says, "Mildred, why don't you go and buy her a fair coat? Make her feel better." Fair coat. I didn't want no fair coat.
And did you get a fur coat?
I had to get it.
In Cherry and Webb, I bet. Yeah,
of course.
They had a fur salon, yeah.
Of course, Cherry and Webb.
Sure.
You wouldn't go anywhere else. When I was getting married, Nelson Cherry was the one. When I got my guy, when I was trying on wedding gowns, he was right there. And Miss Flechette, remember Miss Flechette
yes.
from the hats?
Yes.
They had a veil. They had a long, long veil that was going to be in one of the style show. Nelson Cherry says, no, that's for Ruth. That's for her with her gown. You don't put that in the style show.
Well,
I had Nelson Cherry.
Wow, I don't know anybody that had Nelson Cherry working on their wedding. That's something.
Well, because, my mother had four of us.
Yeah.
And everything was bought there.
Good business, for sure.
Hey, business.
You know, I wanted to ask, I forgot to ask you, you live down the globe. Do you remember the Park Theater, the Park Show?
Of course, I used to go there.
Did you? Tell us about that.
25 cents to get in. I knew Marky Gosaminski. Here and my girlfriend, Marky was keen on his Stacia. So we used to go. Marky used to get us into the Park Show for nothing. Well, we used to go to Park Show. That's something. For dishes.
Oh, yeah.
One day you'd get a cup. One week you'd get a cup. The next day you'd get a plate. And you'd get a whole set of dishes.
Well, if you had 10 children, you could all get a plate and a cup. I mean, you must
Oh, no, they didn't all go to the show. I used to go with my mom. The others were kind of old already. They had more of their self. I was the youngest. I would go with my mother. We would walk up the Globe Street and
sure.
go to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Park Show was...
And my mother thought it was great because she didn't know any better.
Were you crazy, it's true. Were you crazy about the movie stars?
Huh?
Did you like the movie stars?
At them days, yes. They were movie stars, not today. They're not actors or actresses today. They're scum, the way they dress.
Yeah.
No. There's no need of that.
The glamour. You like the glamour of that period of time.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I like the shows that they had and everything else, even on TV now. What is there on TV? Nothing. You know what I watched? The Butchkey Channel.
Really?
I see nice parades. I see beautiful women dressed in nice costumes and very religious, of course. But that goes beyond, but you've got to give them credit. Beautiful.
The Globe. Was the Ukrainian Club active then? You remember the Ukrainian Club?
Oh, the U Club? Oh,
wow.
The food.
Yes.
Yeah, did you go there?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I knew Matt, the cook. He graduated in eighth grade with me. Big fat cook.
I remember him, sure. How about the Polish Home?
Polish Home didn't have much.
No.
My father had shares in that thing. Nothing ever come out of it. In fact, Ruth Ann, my niece, her husband, my father gave her father the shares that he had in that. That bent down and they got nothing.
You know,
not a thing.
You know what's still around down the globe?
Huh?
It's still there down the globe. It's Hartley's Pork Pies. Remember Hartley's Pork Pies? Still there.
Well.
Do you remember that?
It's
100 years old.
Hartley's Pork Pies.
Oh, I know Porky. He wanted to take me to the prom, and I wouldn't go with him because he was too short.
His name was Porky. What else would his nickname be, right?
I don't want to go with dog.
I'm just going to jump back a minute to high school. Did you take the commercial course? Or
yeah.
So you thought you were going to go into
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. During World War II... My brother Al worked in Quonset Point in one of the islands. He gave me an application to work in Newport. I filled out the application and everything else, and I told my boss that I was going to leave and I was going to work. He said, no, you can't leave. I said, what do you mean you can't? I can't you leave? He says, so you know, if you leave, he says, so you won't be able to work for I don't know how long. I says, why? He says, well, because if you know, we're making nurses' uniforms for the government and we're working for the government. So you cannot leave unless you stay out of work for so long, then you can go to your job.
Oh, he had something over your head.
So I said to my brother, well, forget it.
I'm thinking that as a supervisor, there had to be a lot of stress for you because I think the owners wanted a lot of production. And did they hold you responsible?
Oh, yeah, we had to. We had to report to them why production's going down, or why this operation, there's so much trouble going on.
What?
Why? Because of you people, for Christ's sakes. These girls are working like slaves, and you want more?
Did you often feel that you were in the middle? You were caught in the middle between them and the employees.
Well, I was pretty, well, the employee knew I was with them. I think in a way they knew.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to your room, honey?
Hi, Lorraine.
We're going to be wrapping it up a little bit. Is there anything that you think we might have forgotten? Anything you want to tell us?
Well, you people were kind of interested in our work. And like I told you, I worked for 25 cents in Kresge's, and then I graduated to 50 cents.
And when you finished, when you retired, how much were you making?
I was on a salary.
Ah, all right. You're not going to tell us what it was. Okay.
No.
I won't ask.
You wouldn't believe it.
You know, one question I had, as a supervisor in those days, did you do any hiring?
No, I didn't do any hiring, but I did the firing.
They made you fire.
The dirty jobs you
That's
did.
Right. Yeah.
The good jobs they did.
Interesting.
But I really got along with the Portuguese women. I really got along with them. There was some way, and even, well, this one will tell you, she's got an aunt here.
I met her. Yeah, I met her aunt.
Isn't she sweet?
Isn't she?
That's Tia. Well, the first day I come in here, she was sitting down, and of course they had me on a stretcher. She took my hand. And, Tia, I'm talking about
yeah.
Tia.
They're best friends, and they don't even speak the same language.
And I see her. I see Tia coming in here every afternoon. She says the rosary.
Oh, yeah. She used to say it in the... She would when she was on near me.
Yeah,
she used to
go
say
by
it
the window,
in there. Yeah.
The end of winter.
And everybody knew, leave her alone, let her say her rosary.
So what and I found out.
I could.
Okay, we're gonna wrap it up now because I'm gonna let Anne-Marie tell us about Mr. Deppin.
Oh, isn't he something?
She's got all the information, so we're gonna stop it at this point. And thank you very much, Ruth, because we have learned a lot of detail, and it's been really a pleasure to meet you.
It was a pleasure meeting you too.
A great interview. Thank you.